All right, welcome Hope Grown Faith to another one of our exciting Monday mentor sessions. So I'm here today with Jody Kupka, whose last name I just learned how to pronounce. And she is the author of a brand new book that just launched today, the day that we're recording this. So I'm going to get Jody to tell you a little bit more about it and about her family, because I think it's very pertinent to what we're learning in Hope Grown Faith. So Jody, do you want to tell me a bit about yourself and your family first?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually coming to you from Perth, Western Australia at the moment. So other side of the world, and hello from the future.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
So I am a wife and a mother. I have been married to my husband since I was 19. I was such a baby, not something wow. You normally do, but worked well for us. So we've been married 15 years this year, and I have a daughter who turns 8 in September. Hmm. So that's coming up really soon, or possibly when you guys are watching this, depending on when it goes up. That's been a really fun journey with her. It's certainly had its challenges, and I have learnt a lot through that and shaped a lot of my leadership learning and things in that area as well. I do all sorts of things. I wear all sorts of hats. It's always hard when someone says, so what do you do? And I'm like, how long do you have?
Yeah. What don't I do?
So aside from obviously the wife and mother roles, and I'm now an author and writer. Writing's been part of my journey since I was a tiny tot. I've always loved writing. I work for MOPS Australia, so I'm assuming most of you guys would be familiar with MOPS International. So we're actually an affiliate of them, so we have our own board of directors and run somewhat independently but closely linked at the same time. And my role with them currently is I am the national manager, which basically means I oversee the leadership training and support for Australia, New Zealand and Vietnam at the moment. So
wow.
Just a little role on the side. And that's all volunteer. So that's kind of like the job of my heart and my passion job that I do. And I love doing that. And it's been sort of this journey in MOPS and in MOPS leadership that was really the catalyst of the book. So I'll talk a bit more about that in a little bit. And to sort of bring in a bit of money on the side, I also work for a school called Alter One College. And it's a school for at-risk youth. So basically the kids who really struggle in mainstream schools, kids with severe anxiety, depression, really traumatic pasts, all sorts of different things. So we specifically cater for them with flexible education and a really recovery to get them going. And I've done all sorts of jobs with them over the years, and I'm currently overseeing the online staff training and all the online curriculum for our students. So I wear a whole lot of hats and I'm switching gears all the time.
Yes.
I think us can relate to that. We kind of do a million and one different things.
Yeah. But lots of training and leadership stuff, which is very interesting. So tell me, I know that's the point of your book. So tell me a little bit about your book and where that came from.
Yeah, so this will probably be backwards on the screen.
No, it's not. Like that.
It's not? Oh, I love when technology flips things. So this is the book. It's called Stepping Up in Leadership, Reflections from the Journey. And it's been a long process getting to this point. I know you know what that's like, Christy, as well. I started this book as a blog series about 3 years ago. So I wrote for the Write 31 Days Challenge and wasn't intending to write at all that year. I'd been sick and was just not feeling it. And I suddenly had kind of like this download experience where I kind of went, I know what I'm going to write and I know the outline and I could figure it all out. I'm like, awesome. So I posted this blog series and I thought, oh, that was nice. That was done. People seem to respond awesome. And then I had some writer friends kind of go, oh, you should make that into a book. And I'm like, oh, maybe I could put it in an ebook. You know, I could kind of just gather the posts and just post it up on my website for people to download. That's fine. And I procrastinated and put it off and focused on other things. And never quite got round to it, but it was always kind of sitting there in the back of my mind as this thing I wanted to do. And eventually, sort of over the last year, I kind of went, no, this is actually time to get serious about it. And the journey I'd been on, the lessons that I'd learned, and particularly having conversations with other women and hearing their hearts, hearing their struggles, and wanting to be able to impact that, knowing that I had these words that could speak directly into what they were struggling with, kind of went, no, it's actually time to take this seriously and do something with this gift that God has given me. And got with some mentors and worked out some of the internal things that I needed to fight through and started putting it together.
Wow.
So I wrote it all and have self-published it, and yeah, it's a book now.
Congratulations. That's huge. So cool.
It is. And really the book, as I said, it follows my journey. It's a reflection on some of the things I've learned. So I mentioned my MOPS leadership journey and kind of the role I have now. And if you know anything about MOPS, you know it's your journey with MOPS kind of starts when you have a baby. Hmm. You know, you kind of join MOPS, and that's what I did. So my daughter's about to turn 8. So it was only 8 years ago that I even started going to a MOPS group and being a part of them. And they were such a massive part of putting me back together. Hmm. My daughter had severe reflux and multiple food intolerances. She slept for maybe 20 minutes at a time, and it was rough. Oh. I was really not in a good headspace. She would just scream all the time. So MOPS became kind of my sanity saver. Once a fortnight, I could go. Someone would take my screaming child out of earshot for a little while so I could have a break and sort of put myself back together. They encouraged me and spoke into me. Mm. And that was such a beautiful time for me. I ended up going back to work, and I couldn't go back to the MOPS group anymore, and I was really upset about that. And they invited me to help out. They were, my church was hosting the leaders conference that year. Mm-hmm. So that was in 2014. And they asked if I would do the AV. So I literally sat in the back of this leaders conference running the PowerPoint slides and listening to the talk going, oh, I love this. Had no clue, not even remote thinking of what the journey would look like. Mm-hmm. So it was just a case of stepping out and just saying yes to that next thing. Even though it seemed small, it was just that next little thing. And from there, I was asked to be on my local team. And so I said yes to that, another little yes that felt really huge at the time. Rearranged work days, helped out in the group, loved doing that. Then my friend became the conference coordinator who sort of ran the state conference. And she asked if I could help with decor. I'm like, I'm crafty. I can do that. So I spent hours making paper flowers for tables and decorations again. Something that was small but was adding up to mm-hmm. this bigger picture, placing me where I needed to be. In that time, I got to know some of the other state leadership team who was there at the time, and the state leader ended up calling me up a couple of weeks later and asking me to be a region leader. Oh. So here we have region leaders who oversee just a few groups in an area, so about three to five groups, and kind of just coach them, mentor them, help them out. Big wrestle of prayer, big trying to figure out, is this the right thing? Should I be doing this? How will this affect the family? All of those things that we wrestle with, and ended up saying yes to that as well. Then fast forward only a few months, it was literally less than a term that I'd been doing the role when the state leader announced that she was stepping down. And I'm sitting in this meeting looking around at all these other people who've been on team, you know, years longer than I have, going, oh, I wonder which one of them it will be. God has a sense of humor.
Really? That's cool. He
has a sense of humor. And I ended up, again, getting a phone call from the state leader, and she said, I think it's supposed to be you. Huh. And I'm like, no, I think you're wrong. But I agree to pray about it and think about it and have panic attacks about it and my way through about it. And again, I said yes. And it was just this rocket blast journey. And in the midst of all of this, that's kind of the time where I wrote this blog series that ended up being the book. And it was that time of I am realizing how much I don't know. Sort of the more you step up, the more you realize there is so much more to learn. There is so much more to grow in and next steps to go. And I desperately wanted to be the kind of leader that would help other leaders. And not someone who is in it just from myself and my own gain, but how can I be the best possible leader to help those around me? And that's the motivation that I went into it with. And again, it was less than 6 months later, I was being asked to consider the field manager role. And it's been crazy. Like when I write it out on paper, the dates, I'm just like, that's crazy. Who does this? Who says yes to these things? But I've learned so much in that whole journey, and it was recognizing that that is what I have to offer. I'm not an expert. I haven't been doing this for a huge amount of time, but realizing that God uses all these little things in our lives to add up to this bigger picture and to prepare us for exactly where he has us in that season for that moment. And that's what I wanted to share in this book and through these words. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. And I think that's very applicable to when we're talking about leading our kids as well, because it's just being faithful with what you have and just doing the little things, and then they add up. And, you know, most of us feel unqualified when we start parenting and probably most of the way through the journey, but we just keep going. So I know that in your book you talk quite a bit about self-leadership. Would you talk a little bit about how the idea of self-leadership impacts the way a Christian mom lives?
Absolutely. That's definitely been the biggest key learning I've had along this whole journey, is this concept of self-leadership. And I first came across it a while ago, and it's still something I'm digging into for myself. Certainly have not arrived by any stretch of the imagination, but it's this idea of intentional living. It's this idea that really we're limited in what impact we can have on others' lives in some ways. You know, we can do everything we can do, but it's up to them at the end of the day and what they choose to do. Mm-hmm. So the only person we can have the most impact on really is ourselves. You know, we're with ourselves every minute of every day. There is no escape from ourselves. And yet we still, you know, I still find myself baffled. I'm like, why did you do that? Why did you say that? Really? And it's this journey of, you know, I think I always come back to that verse that talks about how Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. And it's this concept that it's this work in progress, and that's okay. Like, we're not supposed to have it all together, but we're a work in progress. And I think God gives us that choice of what we do with his gifts. Like, he gives us that choice. He has given us his spirit. He's given us all these fruits of the spirit and the power and the grace and the love and the forgiveness and all these things that we need. But it's actually up to us how much we walk in that and how much we take that on board and how much we actually live that out in our lives. And that's kind of where our responsibility comes in. It can be so easy to kind of fall into the victim role of, you know, these circumstances around me, this obstacle that's here, this challenge, that's why I can't really do that right now, or that's why I, you know, I just need to check out right now. And that we give ourselves these outs and these excuses all the time, like still all the time, even when we've been in this journey for a long time. And it's kind of making that choice of, do I want to just float through life and never really get to the destination or the full purpose of what God has for me? Or do I really want to go, no, I know that God is calling me to this, and I'm going to pursue that wholeheartedly. And it comes down to, you know, when we're in our comfort zone, we're not growing. Oh. And we need those comfort zone moments. We really do. We need to recharge sometimes. Right. But when we're in that comfort zone, we cannot grow.
Wow.
Because it, you know, and that's a challenging thing to wrap our heads around. And I didn't like it the first time someone told me.
No, neither.
Really didn't. I'm like, leave me in my bubble. I like it.
Oh, yeah.
I heard this quote. I meant to write it down, but I don't have it with me. That comfort is a beautiful prison.
Whoa.
And I'm just, that took me a while to process, and I think I'm still processing it in many ways, because it is, we can set up these beautiful places around ourselves, even if there's not all these challenges.
Hmm.
And even we can be comfortable in our level of pain. Even the pain that we sit in, so the struggles that we're going through, the circumstances, it can actually become a place of comfort, because this is the pain I know. This is the discomfort I know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's out there. And that unknown can be really scary.
Oh, yeah.
And what look like can be really scary. And so we would rather kind of keep making the excuses and sit where we are than go after that next stage. And I'm not talking even the big things necessarily that comes into it, but it's just those little changes in our days that can have so much impact but can seem so scary. And we have to make that uncomfortable choice in those day-to-day moments on that journey. So kind of how that looks like for us as mums, like I think about the type of woman that I want my daughter to grow into. You know, I want her to have these amazing relationships with friends and family and have these deep connections and know that she can have the courage to do whatever she sets her mind to, and whatever God puts in her pathway, that she has the courage to say yes and pursue it. Mm. And she's got a lot of challenges to overcome in that space for a lot of different reasons. She has a diagnosis of anxiety and motor planning, and we're going through a diagnosis of ADHD at the moment, and there's a lot, but I never want her to feel that a label will limit her.
Right.
You know, it's, we can have these labels on our lives that kind of, it almost gives us an out. You know, it gives us a reason of, oh, that's why I haven't achieved that goal that I want. That's why I'm not really living the life that I want. And it's really convicting when we realize, no, actually that's us not stepping fully into what God has for us. Like, He came to give us life and life to the full. But many times I've looked at my life and kind of gone, what I see here is not reflecting that scripture. What I see here is not reflecting the things that God talks about and the life that God talks about.
Yeah.
It's not God who's changed. It's not God who's dropped the ball.
It's us, yeah.
It's us. It's the choices we make in those little everyday moments. And I think for us as mums, that's really where the power comes, is in those little everyday moments. And that might be something as simple as, I'm going to put aside this laundry right now and I'm going to take time to deeply connect with my child.
Hmm.
You know, put aside my to-do list that I want to get checked off and actually take the time and play that game that drives me insane. or it could be going, you know what, I'm nice and comfortable here at home, but I know that there's that friend who's really struggling and I'm going to get out of the house right now and I'm going to take them a meal or call them and see how they're doing. It could be those little moments, but that's what really adds up.
Yeah.
Huh. And in the midst of that, it's kind of, for me, a lot of it, and I'm jumping all over the place, but for me, a lot of it is getting to know who God has created us to be.
Hmm.
Because when we live in that secure foundation, it makes the rest of it so much easier.
Hmm.
You know, if I really believe that I'm a child of God, if I really believe that I am completely loved and secure in Him, that gives me the courage to step out and say yes.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, some of the things that we're afraid of, you know, we're afraid of being rejected or looking silly or, you know, all of these things, not being comfortable, mm-hmm. it's that fear that's driving us. And we know that God's perfect love casts out fear, you know, and easy words to say.
Yes.
How to live.
This would make a really great small group Bible study as we're talking through these things. Like, how does that actually impact my life today? This is some really great thoughts, Jody. Thank you.
Thank you. So it's stuff that I wrestle with. So
Clearly you've been thinking about it for a long time. Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to go back and listen to this one again. So how does this impact the way that we spiritually lead our kids? So I was kind of thinking as you were talking that, you know, sometimes it's just easier just to not do something because we're afraid, well, if I start reading the Bible with my kids or something, they're going to start asking me questions that I don't know how to answer or I'm uncomfortable answering. But yeah, anyway, I'll let you answer the question now.
That's definitely part of it. For me, a lot of it has come down to modeling. Hmm. If I want my daughter to be passionately pursuing God's presence in her life, I have to be living that myself.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've had the experiences of, you know, we can say the things to our kids, but they pick up on what we do.
Yeah.
So much. I remember when my daughter was 18 months old, I walked into our laundry and she's standing in front of our washing machine, which was giving me a few hassles at the time. And she's pushing the buttons going, "Grr! Grr!" Oh my goodness. I hadn't even been conscious of the fact that I was doing this.
That she was watching. Wow.
9 months old, but she'd picked that up.
Yeah.
And she went, "Oh, this is how we do laundry." And it was just this wake up call of, she is a sponge. Like, she is watching and learning from me. And that's such a huge responsibility. And there's been times when that responsibility has felt crushing and I'm like, I'm not good enough for this. Like, there's no way I can measure up to this responsibility. I'm sure we all know what that feels like. But again, it's coming down to, if I'm really walking in God's love and grace for myself and accepting that for myself, then I can show her what that looks like too. You know, if I am spending time with God and letting him transform me from the inside out, if I am making that choice to get up that bit earlier and get into God's word or stop in my day and have those specific times to pray or, you know, trying out different ways of connecting with God so that I'm getting a bigger picture of who he is, that gives me the tools to then help her in that journey too.
Hmm.
You know, she sees me, like, she's wakes up so early. There's no way I could wake up earlier than her to spend time with God. It just won't happen. But she sees me sitting there with my Bible, and often she'll bring her Bible and come and sit next to me.
Oh,
and I've found her starting to journal and write things down now. And that's nothing I've said to her, "Oh, you have to sit and read your Bible now."
Mm-hmm.
But she's picked up that, oh, this is how we connect with God. And so I talk to her about what I'm learning and I ask her about what she's learning. And again, it's that modeling, not that we get it perfect, because that's not what we want to show her either. Like, that's not what I want her to learn, that she has to meet up to this level. And if she misses a morning, she's a terrible Christian. And, you know, because that's not God's heart either. Like, he is sitting there going, "I'm desperate to connect with you. Come to me." And that's what I want to teach her. But again, I have to get that right in my head. I have to get that right in my thinking and in the way I'm living my life for her to really grab hold of that as well. And I also find, you know, when I am digging into myself, even putting aside the faith element, like, I've been on a big journey of just figuring out why I do what I do and how I respond. I'm a big fan of the Enneagram. I know you know the Enneagram. And it's been such a brilliant catalyst of even giving me red flags of, oh, when I'm starting to go like this, that tells me that I'm in a place of stress. Because I've always found that hard to identify for myself. I tend to only realize I'm stressed when I've completely having a breakdown on the other end. And I'm like, I'd like to catch that a little bit earlier.
Yeah, that would be really handy.
You know, but it's even been in that. When I am more aware of myself and my own actions and what I'm doing, I'm able to better respond to her and be the support that she needs as well. And also talk to her about, you know, her own responses and, you know, not coming from that place of judgment and punishment, but I am walking this journey alongside of you and I love you too much to leave you in that place. Like, I love you too much to just let you get away with whatever you want because I know that's actually good for you. You know, it's again, it's that focus of, do I want her to just drift into whatever future or do I want there to be this deliberate, I know the person that you could be and I want to help you get there. She still has to do the work. She still has to make the choices, particularly as she gets older. Mm-hmm. But I can be laying that foundation with her. But again, it starts with me. It starts with me being on that journey myself to be able to take her along with me.
Mm. So that's most of our family. So let's talk a little bit about our husbands. Like, what do we do? Like, you know, you're talking about leadership and how that's impacted your life and how you've learned how to be a leader. What does that look like in your home? Do you feel like you lead your husband spiritually? Do you feel like he leads you? How does this affect your kids? Talk about that a bit. Okay with that? Not Absolutely. A big topic at all.
Big topic, not controversial in the slightest. Yeah. But it's an important one because I think it's something that so many women battle with in silence. Mm. And I love that you guys have this group where you can actually talk and support each other and, you know, connect around that. And I think that's brilliant because it's something that I have struggled with. I mean, I am blessed that, you know, my husband is a Christian and he serves at church, and so there isn't that aspect of tension. Mm-hmm. But I would say I probably do pursue God a lot more than he does. Mm-hmm. And this whole journey of leadership has definitely brought tension at times because it does. It has an impact on the family. I travel several times a year and I'm out at meetings in the evening. It's meant I don't go to my paid work as much, like I cut down my hours there. I could do this volunteer work. And it's been this really hard journey of negotiating that and traveling that together because even though he's a Christian, he may not have the same passion and the same heart for the mission of what I'm doing. So I totally get that. And I don't know if I have any hard and fast theological answers around any of that. I think that's a whole other area, but where I've kind of landed on it for myself after doing a lot of reading and talking and thinking is I still believe he's the spiritual leader of our home. I still believe God has put him in that position. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't abdicate my responsibility for how I'm pursuing God. Like, I think God still holds me accountable for my own actions. Like, again, it comes down to that kind of victim's not quite the right word, but just because I might be in a situation like this doesn't mean I have the right to just go, oh, it's too hard, and sit back and do nothing.
That's right.
Like,
just let him do
I can
it.
Still actually, yeah, just let him do it. And if he's not, well, that's just for all of us then. Oh, you know, yeah. I can still be pursuing God the way that I feel called to, regardless of what he is doing. And that doesn't mean that I kind of railroad him. You know, these decisions have always been made together and we've always come to the point where he says, yes, I support you, go ahead, before I've said yes. Mm-hmm. If he had said no at any point along the way, it would have been a no. I would not have gone against that because I think if you're completely destabilizing your family, that's not where God has you.
Right, yeah.
That would not be God's heart in any of this. And it's also, I love the concept, and I don't know if you've ever heard about the concept of 360-degree leadership. John Maxwell has some great teaching around this, and I think there's even some YouTube videos that you could actually look up. But it's this concept, I don't have a whiteboard or anything, but if you imagine a circle, like a little circle and then a bigger circle around it,
okay.
So the little circle is us in the middle. And then you've got, so when we think of leadership, we usually think of sort of an arrow down, like the people that right. I have influence over that I lead. Yeah. But leadership actually goes all the way around. So leadership also goes laterally. So imagine two arrows going out. So that's kind of like your peers, the people that you work alongside, husband, anything like that. Like those people that you are peers with in this journey, you can actually have influence, and how you act is actually how you're leading in that space as well. But there's also an arrow up for those above us. So we actually have the position of being able to lead and have influence with those who are in authority over us. Again, that doesn't mean we railroad and we take over right. their decisions, yeah. that kind of thing. But the way that we choose to respond, the way that we put requests forward, the way that we can hold them accountable is not quite the right word, but, you know, we kind of can partner with them in this, can still have an influence, and that's still leadership. It's still part of that whole leadership sphere. And so I think of that in my marriage as well. Hmm. Like, no, I don't dictate his actions. I don't dictate how he responds. But I am responsible for me, my actions, my responses. And so that can actually have an influence. Like, I think us as mums, we can set the atmosphere in our homes. We can, we have such a big influence. And if we're going around grumpy and resentful and bitter, that has a flow-on effect to our whole family. Like, that has a knock-on effect. But if we're going, you know what, I'm having a grumpy day today and I'm really sorry for how I'm treating you in this moment. Please forgive me. How can we make this right? That's going to have an impact. So, yes, we still have grumpy days.
Yes.
Yes, still mess up. Hormones have a lot to do with it sometimes, I find.
Yes.
But, you know, but when we're open and honest and actually own that and take steps to reconcile and even just, you know, how are we going about loving and showing love to those around us in ways that connect with them? You know, I love the love languages mm-hmm. concept as well. How I feel loved is not how my husband feels loved. And being aware of that and focusing on that, that's part of leadership. Like, that's part of leading in our families, even if we aren't the spiritual head of our household. We still have a role to play within that. Like, we don't get to just go, no, it's not my role, too bad, I'll do what I like. Like, that's where I've come to see it.
Yeah,
in my own
life. I like that image of the 360 degree leadership. That's really cool. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
No, I think that pretty much
okay, you got it all. Okay, so then before we close, where can we find your book? Where can we find a little bit more about you and your work?
Yeah, so there's a few different spots. So I have a website, Joe Kupka, and I've sent all the links to Christy so she can put them all in there. So that's my website, and I've also put together a free little ebook for you guys called For Your Encouragement. So it's just, again, it came out of a blog series that I did a few years ago, where I had people write in with what they were struggling with, and I kind of prayed about it and put together a response to those things. And it always amazes me, it really shouldn't, but how common our human experience is. Even if the details and situations are different, the pain and the heart and the emotion underlying it, there's so much commonality. I've sent a link where you can get that free download as well. Thanks for having me. And the book is available on my website in the shop, but you might want to compare. It's also on Amazon, and you can get it through Kindle, iBooks, Kobo, Novo, all of those great ebook places as well. So you might want to compare. If you're wanting to get the actual print copy in
show
hard
us
copy.
Right in front of your face. There we go. Got it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Also has, I can find, but throughout the book, like, I'm a big journaler and processor. So I've actually built in, I don't know if that'll focus.
Yeah, I can
but
see
it's got
that.
Your turn pages with questions that you can actually reflect on each section of the book as well to go through. There's a link in the ebook to download a PDF of those, but then obviously in the print book it's there for you. But compare the Amazon price and my shop price for postage and all that. I'm not sure which one will work out more cost effective for you guys in the end, but both options are available there as well. And if anyone happens to be coming to MomCon, I don't know when this is going up, but I am taking some to MomCon as well, because I get to come to the US for the first time. So over that side of the world, closer to you guys.
Yeah.
So really excited about that. So yeah, I'll be taking a few copies over there as well.
Cool. I think we have at least one member in Australia. So.
Cool. Well, definitely get a much better deal price-wise on my website than getting it through Amazon.
Okay.
I've checked that one.
Okay. Cool. Thank you so much, Jodi. You have given us a lot to think about and chew on. So I'm excited to put together some study questions for us to think about.
Yeah, that'd be good. And I'm hoping to start my next project is I'm actually going to be putting together a group coaching program around some of these concepts and around some of these books. So hopefully launching next year, I'll have that available for people to work through as well.
Awesome. Thank you.